All right. We're going to have a topical message, move around a little bit, and switch around from the expository. We're having a little Valentine's deal today, and I studied and thought, do I go with the theme, or what do you want, Lord? And then this just kind of kept coming back. Titled it Chosen, just Chosen. And we're going to look at some things you're chosen for and why and the outcome of that. And I'll try not to be too warm fuzzy. I've never been a real warm fuzzy guy with all this stuff. And you know, I used to get in a lot of trouble because I didn't have pleasant things to say about Valentine's. But I've moderated some in my older age, at least up here. Yeah, and I've learned to be more moderated and do all that. And so anyway, in 1 Peter chapter 2, if you notice your verse, the verse is kind of weird when it comes up because it starts off a little funny. It says, but you're not like that. And it's like, that's the verse, you're not like that. And I didn't want to include the other verses but I'll tell you why he says you're not like what before we get into what we are. He's talking about, if you read 1 Peter chapter 2, the preceding verses there are talking about people who stumble over Jesus Christ because they don't obey God's word. And it says they meet the fate that was planned for them. That's the verse before it. And then verse 9, what I wanted to get is you are a chosen people, but you can't do that because it's just right in the middle of the verse. So right in the middle of the beginning of that verse. So all I can do is, but you're not like those people who stumble over Christ because they don't obey God's word, and so they meet the fate planned for them. So just know you're not like that. But he says, so you're not like those who stumble over Jesus, but here's what he said, here's what you are like. He said, you are a chosen people. You're a royal priest and a holy nation. Does everybody hear this? He's not talking to just the Jews. He's talking to you. He's talking to me, talking to Christians. He said, you know, a lot of the Jews didn't believe in Christ. These are believers in Jesus Christ. He says, you're not like that. You're a chosen people. You're royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. That's what you want to hold on to. And people say, I hear this a lot. I don't know who I am. I'm not sure of my Christian identity. And it's like, well, turn to that. And take a look at what God says you are. First of all, he says he chose you. He chose you. And the scripture is very clear that no one can come to God unless what? He's called. Have you ever read that? Jesus calls you. He sends his Holy Spirit to convict you of your sins and draw you to Christ. You don't come on your own. John 15 is very clear about that. What does he say over, well, John 15 and 16, what does he say? He said, you did not choose me, I chose you. Just like that. And so, nobody can take credit, well, I chose Jesus. No, he chose us. And he worked on us, and he softened our hearts, and he convicted us of our sins, and we eventually asked him into our hearts. And that's how it happens. And when you're sitting here today, grab this. You are chosen. He picked you out. And you say, well, why me and not somebody else? Couldn't say. But he chose you. And if he chose you, then he has something for you. He didn't choose you just to choose you. So what are you? He says, you're a royal priest. That's pretty heavy, big. That's big stuff. He said, you know, you look at yourself and say, I'm a royal priest. Right. With all my stuff. Well, you're a royal priest with a lot of stuff. But you're still a royal priest. That's just all there is to it. And you're a holy nation. Listen, you just can't, you can't exempt yourself from God's word. It's what it is. He says it. What he says is what he says. So you're a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. You belong only to him. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. That's what you're here for. That's what we're all here for, is to show others the goodness of God by being the chosen royal priest, his holy nation, his own possession. And he called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. So then you can read on. It's, and the other verse is good. And I'll just read it to you real quick. It says, once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you had received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. That's a letter to you and me, the Gentiles. We didn't have a hope in the world. We weren't part of the chosen in the beginning. There was nothing for us. And then the Jews rejected Jesus Christ and Paul himself. Remember, when, and he said, I'm basically, and you know, he paraphrasing Paul, he said, I'm sick of you hard-hearted, stiff-necked Jews. I'm going to take the word of God to the Gentiles because they'll receive it and they'll become the chosen, at least for a time. And that's what's happened. So has God rejected Israel? No, but they're on the afterburner right now. Because they rejected, he hasn't rejected them, but they sure rejected him. That's sad. But because of their rejection, guess what happened? We're in. And now we're the holy nation. We're, I hear people, you know, and listen, I'm very much pro-Israel. I mean, that's why we have the you know, their flag over here. And there's not a problem with that. But listen to this. For the time being, it's not Israel that's a light to the world. It's we, us, you and me. We, the Gentiles. And that light was passed to us. And we're the light of the world. They don't believe. They reject Christ. I hear people say, you know, well, they're the chosen and we're nothing. Oh, don't tell me that. We've been grafted in. I want you to know something. You're just as important in God's eyes as His chosen right now as His original people. Do you know that? Because you're grafted into that vine. And he says your ancestors, their ancestors become your ancestors. So way back there now in the spiritual bloodline, guess who you're kin to? It's not their family, it's your family. So Uncle Abraham is in your spiritual bloodline. And David, Moses, all these people. So you need to sit back and realize, man, you know, you can send in all this DNA stuff and find out. I could care less. You know, you send in that DNA stuff, and that's, if you do that, don't worry about it. I'm not going to knock you for it, and I'd like for you to tell me what you are. I may be different than what I think you are, so you may come out better. But the point being, that's just a bloodline. My bloodline I'm interested in is my spiritual bloodline. And I know who I'm kin to. They don't have to do a DNA check. It's already in the Bible. And when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you're now grafted in, and Abraham and all these people, Isaac and Jacob, all the way through, they become your family. And you know what the scripture says? Listen to this. He says, you inherit all the blessings promised through them to God's people. You go back and read the blessings promised to the Jews. You've been grafted in through your faith in Jesus Christ. You get those blessings. And some of you who are kind of wandering around in your faith and kind of lost out here with this whole thing, this whole concept, you say, listen, why don't you just claim the blessings that God promised to His people? They're there. Take them. Start believing them. Believe that you're somebody special, because you are. If I could just get it over to Christians. You know, you're somebody, you're chosen, you're special. I wouldn't have to do so much counseling during the week. Trying to just get people to understand you're worth something. I can't quit. I've had people say, Tony, you got to quit doing it. I don't know what to do. I don't want to, people just falling off the edge. I don't want them doing something to themselves or each other because they have no self-esteem. They don't have any identity. They don't get this stuff. And so I spend this trying to counsel them into the Word of God to say, read these verses and let's talk about them. You are worthy. You've got quite a heritage back there. So anyway, let's grab some points here that we're chosen for. And the first thing, listen, as a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession, the first things we're chosen for is, it was, we know relationship with God. We get the relationship when we believe in Jesus Christ. Everybody good there? This is more of a teaching, not so much a preaching message, but I want to get some of this across because it's important. But that's not where the stumbling block is for Christians. Where we have trouble is with the fellowship concept. You know, and I was in a denomination and the whole thing, and we were geared to preach salvation, 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 relationship with God. But what was out here on the periphery and never brought to the forefront was, well, what about fellowship with God? And what about fellowship with other people? It's one thing to have a relationship with God. It's another to be in fellowship. I mean, there's a lot of kids and who say, yeah, so-and-so is my parent, but I'll never go see him. I don't have nothing to do with them. Well, they're your parent by blood, by relationship, but you don't have fellowship with them, so you're really not in contact with them. And let me share this with you. This is vitally important. A lot of Christians, a lot of people who call themselves Christians, they may have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but they're not in fellowship with Him. They don't know Him. They're not reading the Word. They're not praying. I tell you what they're doing. They're going to get something from Him every Sunday. Give me, give me, give me. It's all about me. Give me a blessing. Give me some excitement. Give me an emotional coaster ride here in the whole church program. You know, lots of the, you know, and that's why they go for the entertainment and give it to me. And if you think I'm beating that to death, I'm not. I'm trying to get over Christianity. Being a Christian, it's not about me. It's about Him. And so many churches today have become me-centered. Entertain the people. Make the people feel good. And they get a crowd. I got to say that. If we did that here, we got a lot more people. But then I'm going to have to count, just like every other pastor is doing that. You're going to have to count to God for it. And for all the people you misled, this experience is about fellowship with Jesus Christ, because we've been brought into His kingdom. We've been saved, born again, to accepting Jesus in our heart. And God has chosen us to have fellowship with Him. You see, you mean God wants to have a living, breathing fellowship? Yeah, He does. I can't attribute too many human traits to God. He's God. But sometimes I think, God, did you get lonely? Seriously. Did you become lonely? Because the animals and all the things you created couldn't relate to you. So you created man and you wanted somebody to talk to. You wanted somebody that you could put yourself into. You wanted offspring. You wanted a family. Have you ever thought about all this? He created the heavens and the earth and did all these wonderful things all these creatures, but none of them could relate to really relate and have a fellowship, a living, breathing, daily experience with Him. So He breathed life into man. He put the dirt together and the clay and breathed life into us. And why'd He do it? Because He wanted us to talk to Him. He wanted to talk to us. God enjoys visiting with His people. You're His people. I'm His people. He's tapping on all of our hearts right now, saying, you hear this? You hear this? I want to talk to you today. Let me tell you something else. Just give you a few notes here on this fellowship thing. Don't forget this very thing. No matter how much people deny it, everybody craves acceptance and belonging. God put it in our hearts. He wanted us to turn to Him for that. First of all, God wants us to crave that acceptance and belonging from Him. But then that goes out to people. I hear people say, and listen, I've done this. I've done this. I am guilty of this one right here. Let me tell you what I do. And I still fall into it. It's not real hard for me to become, if I was younger, it's a little tougher for me to climb mountains. But if I was younger, it wouldn't be that hard for me to become a mountain man. I'd go in once in a while so I could socialize and talk to everybody. And I want to go back to my mountain. I've always liked the rugged life and the outdoor, I'm an individualist. I don't have to conform to anything and blah, blah, blah. And yet deep inside, it's like, Tony, get honest. Do you want acceptance? Do you want belonging? And you know, if I just pull the wall down and say, okay, let me just get vulnerable here for a moment. It's like, heck yeah, I do. Sure I do. I used to be in a community. I mean, what do you think the military provided? Just adventure? There was the community of warriors. Man, we're going to hook up. We're going to put our knees to the breeze. We're going to jump out of airplanes today. And we're going to get nasty in some out here in the swamps and do all the stuff. But guess what? We were a community. I didn't catch it then. I realize it now. And you know, that was your family. You took care of each other. Man, you didn't leave anybody behind, and you made sure that everybody was taken care of. And it's like, that's what the church is. We're a community of warriors. We don't realize it. Aren't we warriors? What are we in all the time? Spiritual warfare. We're fighting this thing. We're in a battle every day of our lives. Same thing. I just can't get it across, you know, out here, out and about. You get this. That's why you're here. But during the week, I'm meeting with people in different churches and stuff. Their pastors send them to me because I don't want to deal with them. I get calls from pastors. Tony, would you talk to this person? Are they one of your members? Yes. Well, why don't you talk to them? I don't want to deal with it. Well, thank you very much. You know, I'll deal with your problem for you because I care about them. And what it comes down to is these people need acceptance and belonging. And guess what? People will sin big. You want to call big. They'll sin these big sins, we call them, in society. You know why they do a lot of times? Because they want to be accepted. They want to belong. They'll put things on their body and do all this stuff. Why? They're trying to find a community that they belong to. That's what Christianity is supposed to offer. You don't have to hurt yourself to be accepted. So everybody craves acceptance and belonging, and we all have a need to be needed, don't we? I have a need to be needed. It's like, what's one of the big reasons, son, that you will go out there and do this for other churches and help them? And why do you do that? Because I have a need to be needed. I want people to understand that they have a need to be needed, but I want to be able to produce. I want to be able to contribute something. I'm here on Sunday, but I want to do other things too. So do you. And deep down, we crave to be special and unique. We want to be noticed and appreciated. And everyone deep down, listen to this. Everyone, really, deep down in their heart, we crave to see a smile on somebody else's face when we come into their presence. We do. It's tough when you walk up to somebody and they frown. You know, you look and see somebody and you're so anxious to go see them and speak to them, and you see a frown on their face and you realize, I don't think they're as happy about seeing me as I am about seeing them. You ever had that happen? We all have. But what a delight when you come around the corner or you walk into a room or whatever and you see smiles and somebody's saying, hey, come over here, sit with us, whatever. Isn't that neat? That's why I pounded and pounded and still do. Never leave anyone sitting alone in the church. And you don't. Go to everybody. Make sure everybody knows that they're special to you. They're special to God. Jesus, listen to me. Jesus is smiling every time you come to Him in prayer. Did you know that? He's smiling. He's happy with you. When you come to Jesus in prayer, even if you don't, you know, you're just praying about all, you're talking with Him. He's smiling. When you read your Bible, He's smiling. Why? Because you're having fellowship with Him. You need it. He wants you to have it. He's done everything He can. I mean, what else could you ask? The man dies for you. He rises again. He's at the right hand of God the Father, but He's right here in His Spirit. And He wants fellowship. Secondly, friendship. You say, this is it. This is so, you're kind of leaning towards the Valentine-y type. Yeah, I am. It's Valentine-y. I guess that's a word. Anyway, you get it. Yes, because this is Valentine's is what? Listen. Now, you know, I know Hallmark and all these people created this day, the cards and everything, so they can make a lot of money. And we've turned it into something else. But this day's come to mean a lot. This is the day that if any guy in this world cares anything about a woman, not this day, but I mean, it'll be Friday, but we're kind of celebrating here. Valentine's is the day, if you care anything about a woman, don't fight the system. Guys, I'm going to give you just whisper a little hint. Don't fight it. Because Valentine's is the day, if you fight, you die. If you want to live a happy life and see the next day, do something on Valentine's Day. You see, is this from the Bible? No, sir. This is from the scars in my own life. You know, I am sharing that little tidbit with you from personal experience. Do not forget, avoid Valentine's Day. Now, some of you may reach a place in life, you say, oh, I don't need that. But by and large, What started out, really did, to be a moneymaker card thing and all that, has turned into something that if a man wants to live and prosper, Don't forget it. Okay, did you hear that? She said that goes for women too. Guys, do you like something on Valentine? Yeah. For your woman to be. There you go. He's learned it. That for your woman to be happy. I've been asked, Tony, is there any kind of Valentine gift that you would like on Valentine's Day? And I said, any new rifle with a heart attached to it. It's fine with me. I mean, that'll do it. You can put a little chocolates on it if you want to really spice it up. So let's talk about this friendship thing. Did you know? If you didn't, I'm going to tell you. In my work, if I had to make a decision, my druthers, you know, with a couple, you know, if they, you know, it's like, look, guys, you know, if I have to make a decision between, are you in love with each other? Are you friends with each other? You know what I tell them? I want to see you friends with each other. Because a lot of people love each other and they can't get along for 5 minutes. But if I had to draw the line and choose one, I say, the thing I want to see and God wants to see in all of us, first of all, what the scripture says, Abraham was the friend of God and he wants us to be a friend of God. Honor him, serve him in all. He's Almighty God, but also to be a friend of God. And listen to me, if more couples were friends, they would be better lovers. I'm telling you. And that fellowship and talking and sharing, if they were friends and just did stuff together and enjoyed it together, the love thing grows. And I've shared this with you before. I shared it in counseling this week with a couple. And I told them that they were having this issue. And this is what I told them. And you've heard it here. And I'm going to say it again because it's appropriate on this day. It's easier to act your way into a new way of feeling than to feel your way into a new way of acting. Now, some of you are looking at me saying, would you say that again? It's easier to act your way into a new way of feeling than to feel your way into a new way of acting. If you go through the motions, if you develop the friendship, I'm telling you, as you begin to do stuff together, not just with a man and woman, but friends, whatever, you develop a friendship, the feelings follow when you do the actions first. You go and love your enemy. You do something. You know, have you ever had to do something for somebody and you didn't like them? Your prayer was not for God to prosper them, but he put it on your heart to do something for this person or persons or whatever, take this family, something that you couldn't stand. And you did it out of obedience. But as you keep doing that, guess what happens? Something begins to change, and God does it through his Holy Spirit. You're going through the action, and then the feelings begin to come. Because you're doing the right fellowship, friendship thing. You're honoring God in this. We were made to have friends and to be friends. There's a passage here. It says, I no longer call you slaves because the master doesn't confide in his slaves. And he says, Jesus said, now you are my friends. Grab this. This is out of John. Now you are my friends. Since I told you, I've told you everything the Father told me. So even Jesus himself called us his disciples, what? His friends, not slaves, not servants, but friends. And Jesus wants your friendship. Jesus just wants you to enjoy being around him, being with him, communing with him. That's the friend we have in Jesus. That's a song, right? That's a song. Sure been a long time since I've heard that song. What, how'd that go? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Remember that? Yeah. Well, that's it. That's what we have. I won't sing anymore. I want you to stay here. Anyway. But, you know, those things just come in your heart. But we have that friend in Jesus. And guess what he does? You know what a friend does, a real friend? A friend watches your back. Who watches your back more than Jesus Christ? Who supports you? Who only wants God's very best for you? Who has compassion for you? Who's a friend that's there for you even when you're not there for yourself? Jesus Christ is. He's the greatest friend you'll ever have. And he wants you to be a friend like that, not only to him, but to each other. You know what a church needs to do? And you do it well here, and I commend you for it. Just keep it up. You watch out for each other. You watch each other's backs. You notice, I have people come to me and they'll say, so-and-so doesn't seem like they're too well today or whatever. And then I find out that they've talked to them and they're ministering to them. That's watching each other's backs. It's not letting anybody slide down the chute out here and get separated from the flock. Jesus is always the friend that we have that never, ever lets us down. And we can rejoice in it. And we're sharing a little Valentine's thing today. Well, open up your heart and say, thank you, Jesus, for being the kind of friend to me that's got my back. You're always loyal. You enjoy my company. God, help me to enjoy yours. And be in fellowship with you. And then thirdly, what are we chosen for? We're chosen for fellowship. We're royal priests here. It says we're a holy nation, God's own possession, to have fellowship with him and with each other and to have friendship, but also security. There's a little verse here. It says, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. That's not really, that's just part of the first part of the verse. He didn't say, by the way, he never said you couldn't have money. He said, just don't fall in love with it. That's all. I've heard people quote to me over, you know, many, many, many times, Pastor, you should never ask for a raise. You shouldn't do this, shouldn't do that. Why? Because the love of money is the root of all evil. There's non-Christian things that I think in my mind, but I don't say. You know, but the truth is, that's not what God said. He said the love of it, not the use of it. If it wasn't for money, we couldn't live, could we? This church wouldn't survive. And so forget the money thing. That's not part of the text. Here's what is the text. The security we have. This security, as we celebrate this warm, fuzzy Valentine experience with God, with each other, remember that we're chosen to enjoy the security that God gives us and give it to others. He says, for God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Listen to me. You may fall flat on your face. You may commit such a horrendous thing and say, there's no way God can ever, ever, ever love me. And God is saying, I loved you before you did it. I love you now after you've done it. And I'll love you forever because I don't back out and leave or forsake my people no matter what. And I've had people confess many, many times, well, I've committed adultery more than once. I've had this. I've done that. I've got, you know, and I've got this disease from doing whatever, or I stole money, and it's like, okay. All right, we got that confessed. Now, what we got to do about it? And it's like, I've had this. They heard these words. I'm sunk, Pastor. I'm sunk. I've fallen from grace. I'll never get back. And then you go to 1 John. You know what he says over there? If we confess our sins before God, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we walk in the light as Jesus in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. He didn't exclude any sin, all sin, all sin. Doesn't make any difference what it is. You know what? God is the comeback God. He's the God that wants your best. He's the God that forgives you. And when you repent of your sins and you ask forgiveness, you're forgiven. I don't care what it is. And God's got his hand held out and he's pulling you out of the muck. And he's saying, now you're going to have a testimony from this. I'm going to do, what does he promise to do? He says, God causes all things to work to the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. You see, how does that apply? God can take your worst sin and make it your greatest testimony. From your failures, God can restore you, forgive that, and he will, and cleanse you, and lead you out here to help other people who are in the same predicament. That's what ministry is. It's sharing where I've been, what I've been through, what the experiences, the hurts, the pains, the sorrows with other people, and saying, when they're saying to you, I can never be forgiven, you're saying, oh, yes, you can. Well, how do you know that? Because I've been there. I've done it. And here I am. And God restored me. And I've been through this so I can share with you from personal experience. God forgives sinners. Isn't that great? That's what it's about. That's the security you have. If you do something really dumb, I know nobody in here does anything dumb and never. But you know people in other churches that do. And even when those people you know do something really dumb, you just tell them they can still count on Jesus to forgive them and love them and put up with them and have fellowship with them and friendship. Because you know what friendship is? It's never walking out on your friend no matter how dumb they act. Think about it. And if anybody walks out on you because you've been stupid, you messed up or whatever, if you ever have lost anyone like that, is anybody in here ever had anybody walk out on them when your life didn't please them? Okay, thanks. Anybody else? Me too. Many times. In this job, I've had it happen everywhere. Let me tell you something about that. Here's truth and wisdom from God in this. When they walk out on you, you know what you need to really do? I know it'll hurt. But in the midst of your hurt, why don't you just say, thank you, Jesus, that I found out now. I found out now that they weren't what I thought they were. Lead me to the people who are what I need them to be. Through my hurt, heal me, Lord, and help me to learn from it. If people walk out on you, let them go. But those that stay, praise God for them, and you be a real friend back. There's no quicker way to find out who your friends are than just do something stupid. You'll find out. You'll find out. Last point. Then we're turned to the warm, fuzzy food. The good stuff. Get into it. Smear it everywhere. I started to wear this nice, really nice starched shirt today, and I thought, oh, don't. We're eating at church. Every time you eat at church, Tony, you end up going home and having to go to the cleaners and get stuff cleaned off your nice shirts. So I just thought, wear this Henley, and if you wreck it, you can get another one of those. I thought, this is Henley Day. I did wear red for you, though, just to be close. Well, what is that color? Maroon, thank you. Maroon. So the last one, what are we chosen for? The last one, this is where we wrap it into the theme, love. Ladies, love. I'll say, that for ladies, you say, love. For guys, you say, love. Yeah, there you go. Thank you, sir. That works for guys. And, you know, you got to learn how to handle this stuff. And so, but we get into this love. And over from 1 John, love 1 John. It's so good. But listen to this. He said, and this is love. Not that we loved God. He said, we didn't love him. But that God loved us. And sent his son to be a sacrifice to take away our sins. And he said, you want to know what love is? It's when you don't love somebody, but they love you. And they'll even die for you, and you don't care about them. Buddy, that's love. That's the real deal. When you care, and that's the God we have. It's not just this emotional feeling of love, which is Valentine's all about that. But it's the kind of love that accepts you. You know what this love is? This is agape love. And you know what kind of love we're talking about here? That we're to represent to the world and we're to share with each other. It's agape, God love, holy love, sacrificial love, agape. And what does it mean? It means that's the love that accepts you for who you are and where you are. It's the kind of love that says, I'll take you right here in the midst of all your stuff, but I'll help you move to a place that's better. That's what Christianity is. We take people where they are and we lead them to Jesus Christ. Gently and caring. It's a kind of love that accepts our little quirks, eccentric ways, and our imperfections. Now, I know nobody in here is eccentric. Nobody's quirky. I'm hearing grunts and groans. I mean, am I mistaken in that thought? Is anybody here perfectionist? We're not going to knock you. Are you perfect? There's a perfectionist, okay? I knew you were. Anybody else? Is anybody got eccentric things in their lives? Do you have to have the hangers a certain way in the closet? Okay, there you go. Do any of you have any obsessive compulsive things? Like, do you check your doorknob 6 times at night to make sure it's locked? Do you check the refrigerator, make sure the door's closed? Okay, how many times? You know, we've got these obsessives. We don't even realize it. Do any of you ever get up in the night just to make sure there's no fire or anything? We just get eccentric. And I, one of the things I'm finding, the older you get, the more weird you get. Yeah, yes, it is. You know, you get paranoid. I used to hear sounds out and outside the house. I didn't care. I hear sounds now, and you're, you know, I think there's a raccoon breaking in. You know, I live out far enough. I mean, I'm going to hear sounds. They come up all around the house. I have a fox. I haven't seen him in a while, but he used to come sit on the porch. I had this fox that gentled up, and the fox would come sit on my porch. And I'd open the door, and I called him Foxy, and Foxy's sitting on the porch looking at me. And he used to trot along about 20 yards from me everywhere I walked out there, and the fox would just trot along. And he just showed up. He hasn't been there in the winter, but that's because all the hunters have been all around the place. He'll come back. I saw his tracks the other day, so I know he's still there. But you see, so what's the point of all this? I have no idea. I just want to tell that story real quick. Let me tell you what this love is. The love that God gives us and the love God wants us to have is the kind of love that doesn't try to control anybody, but lets people be who they are in Christ. If I could give them, I'll throw out a little piece of relationship, marital advice. Don't try to control the other person. It won't work. You're just going to have to accept them like they are. They're not going to change. And that's another thing I find out that age does. Don't try to change somebody who's getting more mature in their years. If you do, you may get offended. I'm finding it in myself. Now, I know you're looking up here, and I'm the pastor, so I don't have any of these eccentric things. I don't do anything weird. But Pad can tell you that there's a hall closet that has some hunting clothes, and he saw the most worst fit you've ever seen me have, I think, not the only fit, over that closet. Some ladies had the gall to reach in that closet when we were out there working on that house, and they had perfume on, and they reached in there with my hunting clothes. And I came around the corner, and those women's hands were in there messing with my hunting stuff. I don't know what I said. I didn't say bad words, but I was rowdy. They quit messing with those clothes. They sure did. And I freaked out. You know, it's like those clothes have not been washed for 25 years. I want them to smell like the woods, and they do. Mud. I want them to blend in with the animals. And you put that female cologne all over my clothes. Now I've got to wash them. And that really happened. That's not a made up, because you were there. You saw that. And so nobody ever even goes near that closet anymore. Just don't touch that. That's mine. I wash my hands in no scent soap. I do all that stuff before I go in there and touch those precious diamond-laden hunting clothes. So I have my little eccentric things too. That's my touchy place in life. Listen. I'm going to tell you why most people are unhappy. You know why? One, they're out of fellowship with God. Secondly, they don't have a clue why they're here. They don't have a purpose. I want to give you this as we close, because we're chosen to do this. God wants to make people laugh. A lot of the stories Jesus told was with humor, and God, if you can't do anything else, can you try to help people smile? Can you give them something to smile about? You know how to make a lot of people smile? Just smile. Isn't it amazing how many people smile back at you? Be a good listener. Be a good listener. You may not understand a word somebody's saying. You don't know what they're talking about, but you're listening. And when you can repeat back to someone what they've said, they know you heard them. Friends, we don't have to have all the answers, but we sure need a big old ear and listen. You know what I'm saying here? God does that. God is a great listener. He visits us. He makes us feel significant. That's what He wants us to do for others. Let me close with this. There's no greater hugger in all the world than Jesus Christ. He puts His arms around us on a daily, nightly basis. When you're struggling, you're tired, you're weary, you don't know what to do, if you'll just be still a moment, you'll feel the arms of Christ around you. You know what He's saying in your ear? I got you. I got you. I got this. Just listen to Him. His word's full of this. I love you. I love you. I love you. And all God wants us to do, if you can't do anything else, you come in this place and wherever you go, let Him through you just put His arms around someone and hug them. Embrace them. Touch them on the arm. Because when you're doing that, it's not you. It's Christ in you, your hope of glory, using your body as His vessel to touch other people. He's that kind of God. He does it for us, and He wants to do it through us for each other. Now that's your Valentine message, and that's the best I can do, being a cranky old guy. So there it is. I'll have a prayer, and then I guess we can go eat, right? Okay. We thank You, Father, for the Word that's fed us in our hearts. We thank You for the encouragement that You give us of being Christians. We thank You, God, that You are a faithful God, a fellowshipping God. You're a good, loving God. You'll never leave us. We're secure in Christ, where our names cannot be taken out of the book of life. Well, our names are written there when we believe in Christ, and You give us all this security and You give us all this love. And Father, we celebrate this love meal and we fellowship with You and we enjoy the food and thank You for it. And God bless everyone who prepared and planned and put it together. Thank You. God bless Your people. Bless Your people in every way in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You for being here.